AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Matt Creighton is the founder and principal of Publitics. They are public relations, public affairs, and political strategy consultancy. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. So, the why is kind of an interesting thing. I ended up, getting into the political work and then communications sort of shortly thereafter. A little bit by accident. It's a very millennial kind of a story. But I ended up graduating college. We're still feeling the effects of the 2008 financial meltdown. Not a lot of jobs out there. So I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? So, I found a job, didn't like it all that much. So I thought, hey, why don't I try politics? I always thought that was kind of interesting. So I said, well, just give it a shot, right? What's the worst that can happen? So, I started poking around. To kind of get back to the reason why I chose that. So number one, it was sort of an interest of mine and had been, so I went and did my undergrad in history, political science, was going to be a teacher, actually. That was my career path at the time. And then, did a master's degree, did the whole student teaching thing. But always had some interest in politics. So like, all right, let's see how see what we can do. And then the second part of that was I always thought, young, idealistic, like I can make a difference doing this, in one way or another. Now it's funny because you tend to think when you're young and a little naive, that difference you think maybe a little bigger than it is, but you come to learn that you can actually make some very important sort of incremental differences along the way. So that's sort of the why. But I kind of got into it, started poking around, looking for campaigns that would hire me with no experience whatsoever. So I actually tried to find a couple of campaigns that were likely to lose, likely to not be very well funded, because they have a little bit more latitude to kind of try some different stuff. So I was like, all right, let's go in there and I'll help them with their social media. So that sort of kicked off my career, and I've been going ever since. So we've been growing it's definitely been an interesting journey.
And you haven't had that idealism beaten out of you yet, Matt?
Not quite yet. No, it's shifted. It's definitely shifted, which is interesting. And it's always fun when, we're working on campaigns or we have even a new team member who's a bit younger than I am. I mean, you can see some gray coming in here. So it's, it does age you in dog years, I like to say sometimes, but it does shift the idealism. It's not that I'm not optimistic. It's that the changes, like I said, are a little more incremental than massive, shifts that you would expect, right? So like, if I can just get this person elected, then all of a sudden we're going to have this beautiful West Wing kind of moment, right? Aaron Sorkin type thing. And that's not it. So you kind of start to look in other places for the successes and the things, the impact of the things that you've done. So I haven't had the idealism beaten out of me so much as it's the perspective has certainly shifted.
Yeah, I appreciate that. there's so many layers to it, and it's been interesting or terrible over the past however many years, probably 10 years, that we as just the American public have been able to maybe see more behind the curtain than we had been in the past. So just from my perspective, there's just so much to it. There's so much going on in the business of politics and governing. And then I see candidates like RFK and Vivek, who RFK is obviously as famous a political name as you could have. And then Vivek is the opposite of that, but they're non-traditional candidates. What are your thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mean, I think the mold largely has been broken in some ways. So I think candidates like them, and I you know, will try to hide my biases a little bit here, you know, but I think candidates like them are a symptom of a long sort of brewing need or want within the electorate to elect people who they don't view as politicians or creatures of Washington or whatever it is, right? This sort of, for a lot of people, right, a far off land that doesn't connect back with their daily lives at home, wherever you are in the country. So, you know, whether you're in the Midwest or, you know, Northeast or South or something, it's just, so I think there's a little bit of that, that, you know, it's, if we can just elect someone who's not, quote, a politician per se, and RFK doesn't necessarily 100% fit that mold because he comes from a very famous political family, but it doesn't feel, so a lot of politics, like our politics have shifted a little bit, in that it's a lot more about the vibe of a candidate than policy. Because if you ask people about policy, there are a lot more, there's a lot more agreement out there within the American public than you would expect, right? Because, you know, all we hear about is how divided we are, how many, you know, that one side hates the other side. And yes, there is quite a bit of that. But for the most part, if you're looking at core bread and butter issues, there is broad agreement across the political spectrum in the U.S. So it's not about that as much as it's more about the vibe. And they definitely give off this vibe of, you know, not a politician, not an insider, when in reality, if you kind of dig a little bit deeper, it's the same thing, right? Just a different shade of the same color, ultimately, that you're dealing with. So that to me is why I think there's a desire for that, that sort of thing. But, and also like social media too has kind of changed the game, just in terms of like a nuts and bolts tactical thing. It has enabled people who haven't typically had that kind of platform before to get in front of a lot of eyeballs and to, mm-hmm. and to make a case or to present themselves again, like peek behind the curtain. Like you said, you can actually show people what's behind the curtain, which is something that a lot of people do, but it's definitely changed the game considerably.
I've heard RFK. I'm a bit of a political animal, like I think many people have become or been forced into or whatever. But I heard RFK talk about how he feels like this election will be decided on podcasts. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. And the reason I brought up RFK and Vivek is just because I see them a lot more than I'm seeing other candidates getting out there and, for lack of a better term, kind of chopping it up in long form type conversations.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. And another candidate that did that really well in the 2020 cycle was Pete Buttigieg, right? I mean, no one had heard of Pete Buttigieg. I mean, some people had, right? Like if you're an insider, you knew that he ran for DNC chair and made a good run at it and got some headlines that way. But the philosophy on that campaign was get him everywhere that will talk to anywhere that someone will talk to him. He'll go do it. And he did. And to a great degree of success, I think. But I think that analysis is at least partially right, that, you know, this election will be decided on podcasts. I don't think that's 100% correct, but it is closer to the reality of the media environment that we live in. That's incredibly fractured, right? You used to be able to go on the Sunday morning shows, hit a couple cable news spots, and then, you know, everyone would kind of know what was going on. Now, as we're watching cable news, we're also looking at our phone screens. We're also paying attention to some other, you know, thing that's going on. So our attention is divided in a million different places, from, you know, in terms of age, right? People pay attention to different things. So it is interesting in that we are headed into a cycle, I think. And 2020 was a little bit like that, where so much of the political conversation in this country is taking place entirely out of the direct control of the campaigns themselves. You can run ads on TV, you can run ads on digital. Those are all very effective, very helpful things. You can even send direct mail, still very effective. But at the end of the day, those clips that you're seeing on social media that you referenced, those things are taking place almost entirely out side of the campaign. And those conversations are not super obvious to people who aren't on those in those places. So if you're not sitting on Instagram, TikTok, watching reels or on Facebook, you may not see that, and you may have no idea what kind of undercurrent is out there. So it's really an interesting time to try to figure out the media mix and media environment, at least.
Yeah, I'm sure. Sitting in your seat, when you used to have a lot more control over things, and now some of it's out of your control. Not necessarily a good thing or bad thing. It's your perspective on it. And then working with a candidate who is going to go out there and spend an hour talking to somebody, that must be somewhat terrified.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
It is. Yeah, I think you have to make peace with the fact that not everything the candidate says is going to be exactly what you prepped or exactly what you talked about, or, you can't control what questions come up. So you kind of have to let them take the wheel a little bit. But I mean, that's the good thing about having good candidates is you can trust for the most part that they're going to do what it is. And I think that there is also a newer sort of emphasis on authenticity. So, you used to look for the polish, right? Does this person say the right thing all the time, and are they perceived as competent? And that's all great, but I think there's some degree of authenticity that shines through, whether or not it's real authenticity or perceived authenticity, because I think there are two different things. Because I mean, a lot of people can put on a good act and look authentic. If you're a blank canvas, you can essentially build your brand from the bottom up. So it really is an interesting thing and slightly terrifying, like you said, to sit back and watch an hour long wide ranging conversation sometimes on different things, especially since like we live in a very complex, broad, diverse country. So the answers are not often simple. They're often like the actual answer is often very nuanced, right? We want simple, right? We want like, this will fix it. I will fix it. But the reality is that it's very complicated. The answer is complex. It's not always satisfying, and some number of people aren't going to be happy about it. So it's kind of an interesting thing to watch those conversations play out. And then to watch it diced up into smaller segments where you're seeing the clips, right? So if you think about the audience of a particular podcast, there are a certain percentage of people that are going to listen all the way through, and then a much larger percentage of people that are going to stumble upon those clips as they're disseminated through social media. So, I mean, the audiences are much bigger than I think are easily measured by traditional metrics. So it's really kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, that's a great point. Just because somebody spends an hour on XYZ podcast does not mean that that's the only way people are consuming it. To your point, people are an untold, unknown number of people are chopping that up and sending it out on their accounts. And so who knows how many actually eyeballs are seeing that. That's very interesting. Emotion versus policy. I can't remember exactly if that's what you, sort of how we feel versus the actual issues themselves. how much of the country do you think is up for grabs? If I did hear the right message, I would change my I would vote for an RFK or a Vivek over Biden or a Trump.
Realistically, I think it's a very small percentage, ultimately, especially when you're so in a primary, it's different because you don't have that signal, the partisan signaling that you would in a general election, right? So this one's the R, this one's the D. I know who to vote for here. So a lot of those attitudes are very baked in. And what you're really talking about is 5-6% of the country. So in a general election, we're talking about, at least in 2020, it was something like 70,000 votes or so across a couple of states decided the entire election. So that's an infinitesimal amount of people, if you think about it. Overall in a handful of states. And then again, we have this sort of quirk of the Electoral College too, which makes things a little bit more complicated because you're not talking about a big national race. That race, not particularly close at all. But if you're looking at these individual swing states, because of the Electoral College, it matters quite a bit. So you're really only talking about 70,000 people overall. And I would anticipate that this election this time around will be very close again. And the number of people that are actually persuadable, and there are different shades of persuasion, I would say, different types of persuasion, right? So there's persuading someone who supported you last time to actually come out and vote again, right? To not be apathetic, to not give up on you. There's persuading people of your viewpoint on a particular issue or a particular candidate and swinging them from one person to the other. And then, you know, there's persuading your base to actually come out and vote too. And also persuading people who voted for you last time to not vote for the other guy. So there's a little bit of that, but I think that mix, again, very small, single digits, it's not huge. So it's despite the fact that, again, I think if you strip away candidates, strip away all the policies, not the policies, but strip away the candidates and strip away the parties on the ballot, you'd actually find out, again, that there's broad agreement, right? Like if I told you today, and I'll just give you an example, or if I walked up to a Republican today and I asked, well, do you think it's a good thing that we bring manufacturing back to the United States? The answer is probably going to be yes for most people. Right. Well over 60% right, of people will say that. Would you say it's a good thing that we invest in our roads, bridges, water infrastructure, pipes, you know, the stuff that kind of just makes the country hum? Most people are going to say yes. And then all of a sudden you introduce, OK, well, guess what? Joe Biden has done some of those things. Would you vote for the guy? No way. Those things are bad. That's no good. And you actually saw it so this is a really good real life example where people with Obamacare, right? Like the concept of Obamacare, extraordinarily popular. But once you label it Obamacare, right, you saw it in the polling, right? So some states were clever, like Kentucky, I believe, and I could be wrong about that, but there was some state that rebranded it essentially and called it I don't know what it was called. Let's just say Kentucky Connect or something very innocuous. And it turns out people like to have health insurance.
This is great.
It turns
way
out
better than Obamacare crap.
Right, exactly. So if you poll them and say, do you approve of Kentucky Connect versus like Obamacare, for example, the Obamacare numbers came back terrible. It was like, oh, that's awful. Like, it's just government overreach. But this Kentucky thing, I really like having my health insurance. I like to be able to afford it. I like to know that there are caps on it. So it is funny how our brains trigger that reaction. So it's got nothing to do with the actual policy or very little to do with policy, because if it did, people would take the time, which we don't have, by the way, take the time to read through these bills, understand what's in them, understand what's going on in Washington, which is why I think, again, going back to the earlier point, people have this idea that it's a very far off place where all this stuff is happening. Because again, it's very complex. Like it's complex, and we've got enough to worry about. I mean, you got to take the kids to soccer practice, make sure you put food on the table, fulfill your professional responsibilities, fulfill your personal responsibility. So there's a lot going on. So you can't really blame people for not taking the time to take a fine tooth comb and read through all the stuff that that's going on. But so that leaves us with an interesting situation where really it's a stylistic thing that you're ultimately having the argument over. It's what sort of style do I want? And then again, breaking it down in the partisan lines, that makes it very hard to crack through. So it's a small slice. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So when you break it down like that, is that essentially what your job is to figure out, here's how we're going to present you? Because we could present you, Mr. and Mrs. Candidate, in 1,000 different ways. But based on what we just talked about, the lens people are going to be viewing you through, here's what we're going to try to put forth.
Yeah, yes, to some extent. So I think what it is for us, for the most part, is you can't take raw materials that aren't one thing and make them something else, for the most part, right? Like, people are who they are. They're willing to do what they're willing to do. There's some very limited examples of people who are able to behave in a way that is entirely, or put on a show in a way that is entirely unrelated to their actual personality, their actual viewpoint, their actual style. So that's pretty rare. It does happen. Like, there are some candidates, I won't again name names. There's some candidates who entirely invent a persona to present to voters, right? But that's fairly rare. So what we're doing most of the time is helping with the framing of the message. So it's not always exactly what you say, but how you say it to people, in what context you say it to people, who do you bring into your circle in order to help tell your story with you. So those are a lot of the things that we do. We work with the candidates to oftentimes, like, how can we help you lean into your strengths? These five things are you're very, very good at this, and these three things you're not so good at. And, like, they're not all great at everything. I mean, that's the reality, right? And I'm not an astrophysicist, for example, right? I could not tell you the first thing about it. I wouldn't even be able to pretend. So that's okay, right? So I'm just not going to do astrophysics. So I'll do the other five things that I'm pretty good at. So we help the candidates kind of lean into their strengths, and develop that out and figure out who that resonates with and who it doesn't resonate with. And then, you know, you just kind of figure out how to fill in the gaps around that with other sort of credible messengers who can help carry that message forward.
That makes sense. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Sure. You can catch me on LinkedIn. So you just type my name in, Matt Crayton, K-R-A-Y-T-O-N. And I am the, I think, only one who spells the last name that way. So you'll find me, no problem. You can also check me out on Instagram. So that's our firm's Instagram page. So that's Politics PR on Instagram, and also on LinkedIn as well. So Politics on LinkedIn. So that's where you can find us. And we, you know, we try to post some, you know, research and other insights every now and then, you know, on some of the stuff that we talked about. So it's but always happy to engage.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Matt your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. You can find Matt on LinkedIn. It's MattKrayton. And then Publitics, PR, PublitisPR on Instagram as well. So I'll link all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Matt.
Thanks so much.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early! Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.